Our text this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and the first six verses. Back in 2005, I was looking at something and I saw a picture of some mountains. And as I looked at this picture, we all see pictures of mountains, but this particular picture really struck me. It was like, as I saw that, I saw, wow, where is that? And I looked at the caption, and it was in Colorado. And I thought, that's a surprise, because since I was a little kid, I've gone every other summer to Colorado for a two-week family reunion. We're going again this summer. And I've taken many different ways, seen many different mountains, but I didn't recognize these. They were the Maroon Bells in Colorado. But as I looked at this picture, I think we'll have a picture of it coming up here, the Maroon Bells. As I looked at this, it wasn't just seeing. It was seeing with it almost like it's saying to me, I invite you to come and see. I invite you to come and see. In other words, come and experience this place where I'd never been before. Next year was when Jeanette and I were planning a four-month sabbatical. And as I looked at those pictures, that picture of the Maroon Bells, it was shaping our sabbatical. I told Jeanette, we've got to go to the Maroon Bells. Come and see. And we did. So the picture that never came up was a picture I took when we got there, and another picture I took of us. Of all our 4 months, of all the lunches we ate in our 4 months, none was at a more scenic setting than the Maroon Bells. Come and see. We have that command several times in the Bible. I see a little bit. There we are, eating lunch at the Maroon Bells. We also did a lot of reading there. That was great. The Bible has several commands, several places where the command is, come and see. Only the invitation in this case is not to come and see something of God's creation. It's something to see of God Himself. Come and see. Behold. Grasp by faith. Recognize that in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, He is life. And nowhere is the command, come and see, more powerfully expressed than in the text we're about to hear. So let's hear God's word, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 6. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Come and see the place where he lay. I have a surprise for you here this morning. There is a treasure in this room. At least if you like candy bars, there is a treasure in this room. And I'm going to give you an invitation to come and see where that treasure is. It's under someone's pew. All you have to do is feel under the pew until you feel a candy bar. Aha! Larry, do you want to stand up for a moment? What do you got there?
I got a Hershey bar.
Aha! Do you like it? Because if you don't, okay, anyway, okay. I was hoping someone would get it who's allergic to chocolate. Okay. It's yours. It's yours. Thank you. But you wait till after the service to eat it. Now, here's the thing. That candy bar has been there all morning long. No one knew it. Larry, you were sitting on the mother load there. You were sitting on the treasure, and you didn't even know it until an invitation was given, come and see. Now, I noticed probably about 80% of you were feeling under the pew. Sorry, that's the only one. But you responded to my invitation to check it out, to see. Well, sometimes we need something to kind of jar us to come and see what is real right now. Jesus, after he rose, told his disciples, he said, it's at the end of Matthew 28, I will be with you always. Not sometimes, occasionally, but always. And he does this by his Holy Spirit. But what happens is we get so busy and distracted in our lives that even those of us who follow Jesus can get caught up in things and we fail to see the reality he's with us. You know, just like that candy bar is with us, but we weren't aware until the invitation comes. And Jesus is with us right now. He's at work in our lives. He's at work in this world in amazing ways. And we want to be tuned to that. So I'm going to ask us to take a trip in our minds to somewhere totally different, another place of the world, out of a totally different cultural setting, to kind of, in other words, sometimes when we get out of our routine, to see Christ at work, taking lives and transforming them, we might also be a little more tuned to what he's doing right now with us. So I'm asking you to, in your mind, go over to Mozambique, just across from Mozambique, actually into South Africa. This is a true story. A couple of years ago, Mozambique has had a history of civil unrest over recent decades. And a few years ago, and during one of these times of civil unrest, there were a number of people that left the country, Mozambicans, looking for either better lives or out of fear, left the country. A number of them went over the border into South Africa, and their refugee camp was set up. It was a squalid refugee camp. You know, just full of poverty and hopelessness. And into that camp came a couple, Mark and Jill, and their team, fellow Christians, to come and show the Jesus film, to bring the hope of Christ into a hopeless situation. As they came into that camp and began driving slowly through it, they were heading towards the middle of this big refugee camp to look for an open area where they could set up the projector to show the film that evening. And they found a place towards the middle of the camp. As they were setting up things for that evening and kind of passing around flyers and stuff of invitation to come, they sensed a heaviness, a pall. It was just like darkness in the middle of the afternoon. And then they became aware that all around this open area, witch doctors were throwing bones down in a satanic ritual. It became very clear that Satan did not want people to hear the good news of Christ. So Mark and Jill and the rest of their team, they stopped and began praying. For 3 hours, they interceded. And then as twilight came, villagers began coming out of their little huts, streaming towards the open area. They sensed the pall lifted. They were aware the witch doctors were no longer there. And people were coming because there was an invitation, come and see. And we'll come back to that because Jesus did an incredible work. But we have this text here. Come and see. It's not the only place. Psalm 66, verse 5 says, come and see what God has done, the wonderful, awesome works he has done on our behalf. And another one in this same Gospel of John, or in the Gospel of John, you remember the story of the Samaritan woman Jesus met at the well in John 4 and just turned her life upside down. And then in verse 29, she goes to her fellow villagers. Come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Come and see him. But nowhere is the come and see of greater significance than here at the empty tomb. The scene, of course, is an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem. Now, as far as visual perspective, this could not match a Maroon Bells of Colorado. But in terms of awe-inspiring, heart-thumping, life-transforming, eternal significance, nothing compares to come and see. at this empty tomb. So the women, they came to the tomb, and the first thing the angel said to them, do not fear. Interesting. These women coming with great grief, why might they fear? Well, consider that before they got there, there had been a supernatural phenomenon, an earthquake. And then as they came there and light is breaking, what they saw was that the stone was rolled away, and there sprawled on the ground, unceremoniously, are the guards out stone cold. And an angel with heaven's glory sitting on the stone. I would dare say there's not one of us here this morning that would not have been afraid at that point. So the angel says, do not be afraid. Then the angel says, I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. I'm sure they shook their heads. I mean, yeah, of course. That's why they were there. The angel was right on that. But crucified. That was still shocking to them. It was just a week before. They were among the throngs on Palm Sunday celebrating Jesus coming to Jerusalem. They were sure he was Messiah. They had seen him do miracles. They had heard his authoritative teaching. They were so excited he's finally come to the holy city. And then everything unraveled so quickly. Betrayed by one of his own, turned over to the Roman authorities, tortured, finally executed after an unjust trial. Yes, he was crucified. But they couldn't understand it. It seemed so senseless. I think we've all experienced those times where, oh, that this world is not perfect, there's brokenness. We know that God's created us and he's good, but still there are things that happen in our lives. They leave us thinking, this is so senseless. I don't understand. And I think that's where these women were at. They knew God was good. They believed in God. And they knew the world, you know, things happened and it was harsh. But still, this just seemed so senseless. They just couldn't understand Christ crucified. They didn't realize yet that that was the Father's incredible plan. That the sinless Son of Man would take our sin upon himself. So that when we put our trust in him, we are forgiven. They didn't realize that yet these women would come to that point. But right now, as they came to that empty tomb, they're simply in shock and in grief. So yes, the angel's right. They've come to see Jesus who was crucified. But then the angel said two things that transformed these women's lives and our lives. And turn the senseless into sensational. The first thing the angel said, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. And as they tried to grasp this, there's really only two possibilities for why that tomb is empty. One is that someone came and took the body. Still dead body. Two is that he has risen just as he said. And the angels wanting to make it clear right up front, option number one is not what happened. It's number two. It is that he has risen just as he said. And you can almost see the wheels turning around in these women's mind. Just as he said? Well, yes. We kind of remember him talking about that, but it didn't make any sense. I mean, he's Messiah. And if he's Messiah, he comes in power, not weakness. Crucifixion is the lowest form of weakness. It's for criminals. Yeah, we heard him maybe say that, but it didn't make any sense. He came into Jerusalem to conquer the Romans. But that's what the angel said. He rose just as he said. And it's true for us. Sometimes we just have a hard time accepting the fact that Jesus needed to be crucified. There are people today that speak very fondly of Jesus. He's a wonderful spiritual man. He is a great moral person. But they want to avoid the crucifixion. And yet you avoid the crucifixion, you avoid the reason he came. He came because of our sin. And he came to die so that we could be set free by trusting in him. And then he rose to conquer sin and death. The angel said, he has risen, just as he said. Now, if that's true, And the women knew this. That's a whole game changer. Everything changes if he is actually risen from the dead. And then the angel said something else that was transforming. He said, come and see. Come and see. And here the women had a choice to make. Would they stay in their fear and fright? Would they think, well, this angel, yeah, he was right. We came to see Jesus who was crucified. We can't believe this other stuff. Or maybe he's just a demon in disguise trying to aggravate our grief. I mean, what were they going to do? Come and see. It's an invitation. But the word see there in Greek has some real meaning. It's not just seeing, like I can see the windows, I can see the fans. It's seeing, grasping that there's meaning, discerning what's behind what you see. It's kind of like you've probably heard that story of when Sherlock Holmes, a great detective, and his sidekick, Dr. Watson, they were out on a camping trip. And they'd come back from a day of hiking, got into their sleeping bags, and Sherlock said to Dr. Watson, he said, what do you see? And Dr. Watson said, I see stars innumerable, galaxies. It's incredible. I see the Big Dipper. What do you see, Sherlock? Sherlock says, I see that somebody stole our tent. He saw with discernment. He saw something beyond what you just see. He recognized something. When I saw that picture of Maroon Bills, I wasn't just seeing another mountain. I was seeing with something that began shaping me, shaping what we would do the next year with discernment. The angel says, come and see. Come and as you set your eyes on this empty tomb, discern what God has done. That Jesus is risen. He's no longer here. He's no longer dead. He's alive. Discern that. And friends, that's what he is calling for us as well. To discern that Jesus indeed has risen. He never can die again. And he's with us now by his Holy Spirit. It's interesting when we think about that invitation. It is an invitation. God in the Bible always takes the initiative. He invites us. Come. And we are to come then with faith. Come and see with our eyes of faith. And as I think about it, it would occur to me that because God is always giving this invitation, the reality is none of us here this morning is here by accident. We may not even think it through. Well, I come because I always come. Or I come because it's Easter, or I become because a relative invited me. Whatever it might be, behind that is an invitation from God. Every one of us. The Holy Spirit is at work in our eyes. Come and see the wonders of who Christ really is. And then I think of what he says there, the angel, come and see. He didn't say, by the way, come and behave. Interesting. A lot of people think you become a Christian by being good. I'm going to be a good person now. I'm going to be like a Christian. The Bible doesn't tell us to come and behave. Now, it does give us a lot of things that, we'll get to that in a moment. Yes. But it's come and see. We begin with faith. Trusting in Jesus, crucified, saying, yes, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need to put my faith in you and have my sins forgiven. I'm totally dependent upon you. And I choose to follow you. That's coming and seeing with faith. Now, what happens is once we do that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit enters our heart and begins transforming us. And yes, our behavior is changed. We want to follow Christ. He gives us the grace by the Spirit to want to do the good things. Behavior is a result of faith in Christ. And it's a process over our life. But we don't begin with behavior without faith. Come and behave. Nope. Come and see. And as we see who Christ is, that transforms our life by the Spirit. And so one other thought I'd make about that is that once we come and see by faith and begin following Jesus, we become aware that he works through us to invite others to come and see. Dick's testimony here about this man who died, and he had a family of faith and others that testified to his faith. He was a living come and see. It's Jesus in me that you're seeing. And that's an invitation that we want to live at work, in our neighborhood, wherever, that we're willing to be different because we follow Christ. Come and see. And be ready to give an answer of the people who ask you of the hope you have. That's what Mark and Jill were doing there in Madagascar with their team. It was a come and see invitation. And here's what happened. I want to read from their own words what happened as the film went underway. Jill recounted, "Then during the scenes of the crucifixion, we sensed something unusual was happening. Everyone began to cry. Women, men, children, a mournful wailing gradually rose from the crowd into a relentless crescendo. When the soldiers started nailing Jesus to the cross, many of the people jumped up, ran toward the screen, their hands in the air, crying out to God." The film team probably hadn't prepared for that or expected it, but that's what was happening. The Spirit of God was bringing conviction. Everywhere people were confessing their sins. In that moment, the film was forgotten. They were having an experience with God Himself. Rivers of tears poured down their dirty cheeks. Men beat their chests and cried out, "Oh God, oh God." Some were on their knees, some stood with eyes closed and arms raised, others lay prostrate on the ground. These people were in the presence of a holy God, overwhelmed by a sense of their sinfulness and wanted desperately to be forgiven. Someone turned off the projector. The film team rushed to pray with and counsel those who were seeking God, but they couldn't speak. One by one, the team members themselves fell to their knees, confessing their own sins. "I can't explain how I felt," Mark remembers. "I felt the awesome power of God. I felt His love, His compassion, His care. It was overpowering. It was a wave that welled up inside us, and we couldn't contain it. We were totally, irrevocably, hopelessly in love with Jesus. And the experience just burst out of us with confession and tears, praise and worship, and a feeling of wonder." Jill said, "His power and holiness were so great that no one could do anything but confess their sin. I knew I was in a holy place." More than 30 minutes passed. Still, the sounds of weeping and passionate prayer filled the field. Mark went to the interpreter and said, "We need to finish the film so they will know the good news of the resurrection." So all across the crowd, people continued to wipe tears from their eyes. They saw the burial of Christ and then the resurrection. The interpreter explained to the crowd, "Jesus came to make the payment for our sins, but death could not hold Him." And with that, he pointed to the screen and shouted with uncontainable joy, "And there He is! He was raised from the dead!" The crowd exploded as if a dam had burst. Everyone began cheering, dancing, hugging one another, and jumping up and down. An invitation was given for those who wanted to receive Christ to come to the front. They all wanted to accept Him as their Savior and Lord, all 1,000 people. That night, that holy night, heaven came down to earth through Jesus, His Word, and a film team who had brought these people Jesus. Come and see. It's not always that dramatic, but that reminds us of the power of God, the power that moved the stone out, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that transforms our lives. How is the Holy Spirit inviting us right now to come and see? There may be some this morning here who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ. This can be the day, a start of eternal life. You just simply need to pray, "Lord Jesus, I recognize now I have sinned. I can't save myself, but You died to save me. I trust in You." And then commit your heart to Him. We have prayer team members up here after the service. They'd be glad to pray with any of you. You just want them to pray with you about starting a walk with Jesus Christ. Some of us may be in a place where we have recognized we have allowed our lives to get too busy. We've just been so pushing ourselves that we've maybe not recognized the candy bar under the pew or the presence of Christ with us. He's there. And we need to just allow Him to set our agenda every day so that we live with the hope in Him so that others see in our lives an invitation, come and see. Whatever it is, the Lord Jesus is risen. He is here with us right now. Come and see. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, would you search our hearts right now? Examine where we are at. And may, by your power, may you move us to where you want us to be. Father, for any here that have never put their faith in Christ, may this be the day of salvation. The day when the eyes of the heart are opened up to see the glory of Christ crucified, risen, Lord of all, and coming again. Holy Spirit, draw them into the arms of the Father's love through faith in Jesus. And Father, for those of us who know Jesus Christ, would you remove from us any of those things that, like in the book of Hebrews, hindrances that are keeping us from running our race with you, any sin that we need to lay at the foot of the cross, so that we can run our lives, Lord Jesus, keeping our eyes upon you, the author and finisher of our faith, and finding in you the treasure we need each day as we walk with you and bear witness with our lives. Come and see. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Search our hearts. Deepen our commitment to Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even as you are working in our hearts now, you are working in places all around the world where the gospel seed is sown. And people are coming to faith in you and experiencing eternal life. And thank you for not passing us by. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We pray with thanksgiving and expectancy in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.